Good evening. It is Friday. We made it, July the 31st, and these are some of the headlines on BizarreBiz.com. Microsoft in talks to buy TikTok? Dude! One-room schoolhouse is making a comeback in light of the pestilence. Man who lost his wanger has one growing on his arm to replace it. Woman suffers burns after stranger slaps glue-filled hat on her head. American killed in Pakistani court. And experts fear North Korea may have October surprise. These headlines and many more at BizarreBiz.com. Dude, it's BizarreBiz headlines, 100% unfiltered. Well, Microsoft is said to be in talks to buy TikTok as Trump weighs curtailing the app. Dude, what the heck? What changes will they make to it? TikTok, the Chinese-owned video app that has been under scrutiny from the Trump administration, is in talks to sell itself to Microsoft and other companies as President Trump weighs harsh actions against the business, including forcing TikTok to divorce itself from its parent company, ByteDance, said people with knowledge of the discussions. The powerful Committee on Foreign Investment in the United States has been examining ByteDance since 2017, since their purchase of Music.ly, an app that eventually morphed to become TikTok. The committee has decided to order ByteDance to divest TikTok, and the government is engaged in negotiations over the terms of the separation, according to a person familiar with the administration's plans, who spoke on the condition of anonymity. White House officials have said TikTok may pose a national security threat because of its Chinese ownership. On Friday, Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin, who leads the committee, briefed the president on the divestment plan, but it remains unclear what the president will do, including whether the U.S. would apply for a divestment order to all of TikTok's American operations and whether its actions would affect the app's global business as well. How can they do that? Like, the U.S. doesn't own this app. I mean, they could pull the kill switch like China does on their stuff and we wouldn't be able to have access. But that's not what America's about, y'all. We should have complete and utter access to whatever we want. I'm sorry, that's good and bad. It is what it is, right? I mean, we have the ability to say no if we don't want something on our phone. I don't need the government telling me what to have on my phone. On Friday, Mr. Trump is weighing several other courses of action, including an executive order that could use the vast powers of the International Emergency Economic Powers Act to bar certain foreign apps from American app stores. And that's exactly what they could do. They could just simply tell Apple and Google and other major outlets, you can't offer that in the U.S. And they would take that off their store. Then your phone won't open the app without an update, and that update literally blocks your access to the app. That happened when, I won't name the particular app, but that's what's happened in the past when apps are banned off of certain stores. And it sucks. The Trump administration also has considered whether to add TikTok's parent to a so-called entity list, which would prevent it from purchasing American products and services without a special license. Said people with knowledge of the matter, discussions are expected to continue into this weekend. Well, Jesus, I'm glad I've got my TikTok shirt. Dude. In his comments on Friday, Mr. Trump told reporters that there were a couple of options with TikTok, including banning it. He added, but a lot of things are happening, so we'll see what happens. But we're looking at a lot of alternatives with respect to TikTok. It's unclear how advanced TikTok's talks. Say that fast. I dare you. to sell itself to Microsoft and other companies are, but changing ownership is crucial for the app. The United States is one of TikTok's major markets, so continued operations in this country are apparently a priority. TikTok has discussed other scenarios to alleviate concerns by the U.S. In one scenario, non-Chinese investors like Sequoia Capital, SoftBank, and General Atlantic could purchase a majority stake in the app from ByteDance. People familiar with the discussions have said any deal would likely be expensive. ByteDance's valuation recently stood at around $100 billion, according to the research from PitchBook. In a statement, TikTok did not address President Trump's comments or any deal talks. A spokeswoman said the app was confident in its long-term success and that it was committed to protecting the privacy and safety of its creators so they could bring joy to families. And it certainly does that, y'all. Microsoft declined to comment. Thanks, Microsoft. I mean, not that we want to hear what you have to say. But, you know, if they're going to get max for their dollar, they're not going to tell us what they're doing. The discussions between Microsoft and TikTok were earlier reported by Fox Business. Bloomberg earlier reported that President Trump was poised to announce an order to force ByteDance to sell TikTok to U.S. operations. I don't even know how that's possible. The developments reflect the increasing pressure on TikTok. For months, lawmakers and the Trump admin have questioned whether the app is susceptible to influence from Chinese government, including potential requests to censor material shared on the platform or to share American user data with Chinese officials, which I think is more probable. I know that they do censor the shit out of it. I just recently started saying the word China rather than foreign countries. So, dude, it's serious. And don't put certain words in your explanation of the video, because they will knock the voice right out of it. I just uploaded a video that a person created, a new intro for Bizarre Biz. The music is totally licensed, and I can't get anyone to turn the freaking sound back on, so I had to make it private. Dude, I even sent them the music license. Come on, y'all. It is well established that at this point, the apps that have granular access to users' data and location and other sensitive personal data are very much on the radar and can cause significant national security concerns. TikTok generally collects similar amounts of data from mobile phones as other social media apps, said security experts. But the director of security intelligence research at Lookout, a company that focuses on the security of mobile devices, said U.S. officials are concerned by the app because if the parent company is Chinese, which it is in this case, they are under Chinese security law. This person added, I don't think it is a stretch to think if China wanted to access that data, they would have the means to do so. What are they going to get? Me chilling at my house all day? TikTok is used by more than 800 million people around the world and is especially popular with young people. Users can easily add music and other audio tracks to their videos, and then often travel virally across Facebook and Twitter. Well, dude, I hope they get something figured out here, because I really don't want to remove this app off the phone that I own. Several, actually. And it's addicting, dude. It is so fun to kick back. And I've met some really kick-ass people on that app. Anyway, if you'd like to get a hold of us in some other way than TikTok, of course, we're on TikTok at Bizarre Biz. We're on Twitter, Facebook page, and group. Feel free to join the group if you like. You have to answer all the questions or my son-in-law will decline your application. We are on Instagram, and our full news videos each night are on YouTube. So check those out in case we by chance get shut down. Anyway, I'm going to link this at BizarreBiz.com. I'm going to do a story on one-room classrooms, but it's Wall Street Journal, so you can't see the whole story, so I can't do the story. But I was talking to Bizarre Teacher about that scenario, in that more communities need to get together and, like, hire a teacher and do like one room classrooms, small classrooms, for just that community or that block. Dude, not only could you get your teacher skills in for your child, but you could solve your daycare situation too. Of course, they would need an assistant. But if everybody chipped in and got together, it would probably be cheaper than daycare. And if you did it right, you could afford to get two or three people in there and cut the classroom up to teach different grades. But we have to get back to a community level of teaching if you want your kids to basically be safe, dude. Kids going back to school scares the shit out of me. They are the most disgusting places. Kids are sick all the time. They're always bringing something home. If I had young children, I would figure out a way to have a nanny in or have somebody in to teach them. In my community, most cities are doing virtual teaching, which F's the parents. How are they going to work? No one's thinking about any of this stuff. So what's happening is people need to get back to the community hiring a teacher, which includes paying her salary and her health insurance, and doing it that way. If everybody splits it, we could all afford it. It would take the power away from the government to tell you what to do with your kid. Here's my concern, and I voiced this with Bizarre Teacher. So what if a kid goes to school and COVID's all over the place and they decide your kid can't go home because these kids are potentially infected? Where do they put the kids at? Do they keep your child from you? Do they send the kid home and then the whole family's infected? I'm just like, I'm not willing to put my faith in the government that much. I'm just saying, okay, y'all. Y'all do what you want, but that's what the conversation we had was about. And I think more parents should be had. I don't know, maybe they are. I know that a lot of communities are going back to one room classrooms. Less students could be taught better anyway, dude. Take back control of your situation. So I'm sure that Bizarre Teacher could definitely say more on this. So I will digress for now. On to the next story.
What's up, Bizarre fam? This is Bizarre Teacher. So Indiana schools opened up their doors for the first time yesterday. And unfortunately, they already have had a student. One of the schools already had a student that showed up with an already confirmed positive COVID test. Of course, this Indiana school, along with almost all schools that plan on opening up, have protocols put in place that, you know, prevent other students and or teachers from contracting this because of that student making that poor choice or those parents making that poor choice of sending that child to school, regardless of being already tested positive. Unfortunately, time will only tell and see, you know, if other people have contracted COVID-19 due to this student. Hopefully not. We'll see. It's a little bit scary. These are the things that teachers and staff worry about because not everybody's responsible.
Well, that was not planned. Bizarre Teacher uploaded a video, so I put her in the news. Awesome. It was on the same topic, too. Anyway, onward, and we got the next story. Random attack. Woman suffers horror burns after stranger slaps glue-filled hat on her head in brutal doorstep attack. Dude, 31-year-old Marcella Toscan was attacked on the doorstep of her home in Valencia, Spain. Very pretty lady. She was originally from Colombia and was sent home when a stranger knocked on her door at 9 a.m. saying she had received a gift, according to the Spanish national newspaper. Marcella reportedly saw the man holding flowers through the video display connected to the entrance of the building. In an interview with Newsflash, Marcella said, "Once the door of my house and in front of my 8-year-old son, he threw the flowers at my feet, called me a son of a bitch, and pulled the hat over my head. He ran away. My son was shouting, and I rushed to the bathroom to clean up my head and ask my son to call the police or friends. She was taken to the hospital, where she was diagnosed with second-degree burns on her head caused by an abrasive substance used in the attack. She said, the doctor told me this kind of attack is very common in Colombia, where it is called doing the shampoo. What? Don't get any ideas, y'all. Dang, it is commonly ordered by jealous wives after finding out their husbands had cheated on them or because they envy the other woman. Marcella, who owns a beauty clinic located in the same building, says she had been receiving suspicious calls from a woman who she does not know but recognizes that she has a Colombian accent. Marcella describes how the woman called a month ago to make an appointment in her beauty salon and asked for the location. Trickery. Marcella told Newsflash 2 weeks later, I saw a suspicious man in my building holding a mobile phone, and I asked my neighbors if they were expecting a visitor. Then on Thursday last week, Marcella received a call from a woman who she believes was the same woman as before, asking if she could come to the salon for a treatment. Minutes later, the man with a red cap shows up with flowers and knocked on her door. Marcella says a man was hired to attack her, but refused to talk further about her suspicions as the police investigation is ongoing. A spokesperson for the Spanish Civil Guard in Valencia told Newsflash that they are investigating the case, and so far no arrests have been made. Dude, there is a glue on this poor woman's head, and they are shaving her hair off in this video and in these pictures. It's so sad, dude. She's really pretty, but she looks gorgeous bald. Just saying. She does. You'll have to check it out. Anyway, you can check out those photos and the video at BizarreBest.com. Okay, apparently this dude, who is an American, was killed in a Pakistani court because of blasphemy. And Pakistanis are rallying in support of the killer of the American, the dude that did it. Thousands of radical Islamists rallied on Friday in northwestern Pakistan in support of a man who earlier this week walked into a courtroom in the city of Peshawar and gunned down a U.S. citizen on trial for blasphemy. Why are we not hearing about this on the news? The American, Tahir Nassim, died of his wounds before he could be taken to a hospital, while the gunman, Faisal Khan, was taken into custody. The U.S. State Department said Nassim was standing trial after being lured to Pakistan from his home in Illinois and entrapped by the country's controversial blasphemy law, which international rights groups have sought to have repealed. The U.S. statement did not elaborate on the circumstances in which Nassim came to be in the South Asian country. So he was lured, dude. You should be more smart than that. You're an American. Don't leave America unless you want to be a freaking abducted person or something. The blasphemy law calls for the death penalty for anyone found guilty of insulting Islam. But in Pakistan, the mere allegation of blasphemy can cause mobs to riot and vigilantes to kill those accused. Dude, we are shocked, saddened, and outraged that American citizen Tahir Nassim was killed yesterday inside a Pakistani courtroom, read the State Department statement released on Thursday. Pakistani officials said Nassim was charged with blasphemy after he declared himself Islam's prophet. Police in Peshawar, who originally identified him as Tahir Shahim Ahmed, but later corrected themselves, said he was arrested 2 years ago. The assailant was also initially identified incorrectly as Khalid Khan. It was later learned that his real name is Faisal Khan. It wasn't clear how he managed to enter the courtroom on Wednesday and get past security with a weapon. We urge Pakistan to immediately reform its often abused blasphemy laws in its court system, which allows such abuses to occur. and to ensure that the suspect is prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law, said the statement issued by Kale. You're a little bit late, dude. Dude's been missing for 2 years and you're wanting this to happen? No, dude. Doesn't happen that way, and they don't give a shit, all right? Kale. Brown. However, in deeply conservative Pakistan, any attempt to even amend the blasphemy law to make it more difficult to bring charges or abuse has brought mobs out in the street. At the rally in Peshawar, the demonstrators carried signs praising Khan for the killing, calling for his immediate release from jail, and saying he killed Nasim because the government was too slow in prosecuting blasphemy cases. I'll say, 2 years, dude. We're not in favor of taking the law into our own hands, but Faisal did what the government should have done 2 years ago. Dang, dude, they are cold-blooded. Although Pakistani authorities have yet to carry out a death sentence for blasphemy, there are scores of accused death row inmates. Most are Muslims, and many belong to the Ahmadiyya sect of Islam, reviled by mainstream Muslims as heretics. Besides the State Department, the U.S. Commission on International Freedom condemned Nasim's killing. Pakistan's blasphemy laws are indefensible to begin with, but it's outrageous beyond belief that the Pakistani government was incapable of keeping an individual from being murdered within a courtroom of law for his faith. And a U.S. citizen, nonetheless. Pakistan must protect religious minorities, including... they're not doing all that, okay? They're not conceding to shit. They don't give a two-shit dollar about what we think is right and wrong. So just hang it up. Anyway, I'm going to link this at bizarrebus.com. Well, finally, tonight, experts fear North Korea's undelivered Christmas gift from last year might become this October's surprise. North Korea last year threatened to shock the world with an unpleasant Christmas gift after nuclear talks broke down with the Trump administration over the North's covert nuclear programs. Although the Christmas season came and went without a long-range missile test or a fresh nuclear detonation by Pyongyang, national security forces worry that the Christmas gift may become an October surprise engineered by North Koreans to capitalize on the rare moment presented by the impending U.S. presidential election. But analysts are divided on whether North Korea's leader Kim Jong-un's regime will seek... I thought the dude was dead. Isn't his sister running the country now? I heard she's a cold-hearted bitch, man. But analysts are divided on whether North Korean leader Kim Jong-un's regime will seek to project power violently or surprise everyone by engaging in a sudden diplomatic overture. Or perhaps he'll do both with the ultimate goal of tempting Mr. Trump into a third face-to-face summit. Ooh. The potential for escalation by the North this year is real, said former CIA, Korea official, and Heritage Foundation expert Bruce Clinger. He said the Kim regime may be poised to raise tensions with an intercontinental ballistic missile, or ICBM, or nuclear test that would cross a red line Mr. Trump set 2 years ago. I'd be worried about an EMP, dude. Because the Trump administration has largely ignored Pyongyang's short-range missile tests over the past 18 months, Mr. Clinger, said that the Kim regime could think, well, anything less than an ICBM or nuke, Trump may just dismiss, and therefore we won't get any leverage from it. So perhaps we have to cross the red line to get that leverage. He wants to say hello. If that happens, who knows what the U.S. response would be? Klingon, Mr. Klingon, let's just call him that because I'm sick of saying his last name, told the Washington Times, would we be back to fire and fury, he asked, referring to Trump's threat in 2017 at the height of pre-nuclear talk tensions to respond with the overwhelming force if Pyongyang did not call aggressive provocations. We just don't know, said the Klingon guy. adding that there could be 2 October surprises coming. Well, that just makes me feel all warm and fuzzy inside. Thank you so much for hanging out with me this week and, you know, for tuning in. I love each and every one of you so much. Everyone have a fabulous weekend, and I'll see you on Monday.
Yeah. Make sure you take a deep breath. Think positive. Just saying.
Dude. Penguin's given free rein to roam around the aquarium since there's no visitors allowed. That's awesome! Dude, look! He's looking around! He's loving it! I got a new section on the headlines page at the bottom called Bad Seeds. Matt Geetz of Florida, 1st Congressional District, mocked the whole process by wearing a gas mask when reviewing the funding. You're a super freaking winner, dude. An Alaska airman has been punished for peeing in the office coffee maker. Dude, why? Like, why? Did you take it in the bathroom with you? Did you stand in the kitchen and whip it out? Clearly, this airman is dedicated to getting kicked the F out. He's trying really hard, y'all.